Warning, if you are under the age of 13, you probably shouldn't be listening to this because there's coarse language, adult themes, and crazy people from the internet.
This freaky podcast is intended for real men, not pansies. So if you're offended by licking, groping, or f***ing, then turn off this podcast now. Otherwise, sit back, whip out your f***, and enjoy the show.
Your discretion is advised.
Your discretion is advised.
Remember, change hands at 100.
Everybody, welcome to Dorky Talks, Conversations with Raph, the dorky guy everyone should have in their life. New episodes every Thursday that I remember, because being a student and working full-time is a thing. Now, I'm gonna go on another rambly week on Dorky Talks, but I'll try and get back to normal after this week. I hope. I think. Not really feeling too confident in saying that. But speaking of confidence, this week I'll be covering something that I come across when talking to girls, guys, and dorks alike. The body image of girls, being a high-status man, being forever alone, and confidence in general. I've mentioned some of these thoughts along this line of thinking a while ago when I used to host a now-defunct podcast called Green Polo Shirts and Shenanigans. None of the episodes are posted online anymore, so it's not like you can find it. Anyway, no crazy emails asking for advice this week, no guests this week either, just me, the microphone, and the ears of you listeners. So, let's jump right in, if I remember where to start. Over the past few weeks, I've been talking to a number of girls who feel really insecure about themselves. Well, ladies, I've got news for you. Don't feel this way. You're all beautiful in one way, shape, or form, and I feel like this needed to be said, and not just to you girls, but to everyone. This also applies for guys who have self-image problems as well. I rarely talk about celebrities, with the exception of the Great Gatsby in my last ramble, and that was only to prove a point. I haven't really talked about celebrities or models or anything on my podcast or in my daily life when I talk to people, because they hold a very societal, unrealistic form of body image, and I hope to never make any of my lady viewers and, any of my friends self-conscious. Now, I don't have a strange fetish for any type of girl or race of girl, whatever. I don't say, oh, I only like blonde girls, or, oh, I only like Asian girls. No. If you ask me what I preferred physically in a girl now, and also 10 years from now, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I find the rainbow of ladies beautiful. You want to know what I find sexy, though? What makes one person stand out over another? It's confidence. A girl who talks, walks, does her hobbies, and fucks with confidence is really sexy to me. You know, enthusiasm. You know, being comfortable in your own skin. Confidence is the number one thing that'll always be beautiful to me. There are no ifs, ands, ors, or buts in this case. I'll never be as jacked as Hugh Jackman in the movies, but I am proud of a number of things. See what I did there? Anyway, there are a few things I'm proud about myself. You know, I like my smile, especially when I show my teeth. I have a pretty cool scar on my left eyebrow. It's hardly noticeable anymore, but I like it. I'm pretty confident in what I do. I can make people laugh fairly easily. I can listen well and give no-nonsense advice. And going along with that, I'm simple and straightforward with my feelings, and I take life in stride, and that's a specialty of mine. I'm also pretty friendly to everyone, even if I'm shorter than most men. I can stand out a bit more. Pun intended. Ladies, I want you to make a list of yourself, and guys too out there, if you're feeling uncomfortable with yourself. You know, when you wake up in the morning, I want you to write it down or do it mentally. It can feel better in the long run, you know. Work with what you got. And whenever I hear somebody say, I feel so fat, or I'm not that pretty, I want to be more, insert opposite of whatever the hell you think you are, you know, I die a little bit inside. Why? Because it's not true. I might regret saying this in open form like the internet, but I bet I can find something that'll make any woman beautiful. All women are beautiful in a number of facets, and there's no getting around that. For example, there's a picture I saw once online of this one girl. She seemed really sick, like bone thin, bald, you know, veiny forehead, that sort of thing. And, there was a picture of her right next to this Victoria's Secret model, and it said, "Like this if you feel like she's as beautiful as this model." And you know what? While I don't think, and actually I know she's not as beautiful as the model is, in the very traditional sense, you know, before anybody gets onto my case, hear me out, please. She's not beautiful in that sense because she does not have flawless skin. She doesn't have blonde hair, blue eyes, whatever you want to call it, and a pair of double Ds. Whatever she is, though, she's sick. And telling her she's beautiful in an attempt to comfort her, that's just kind of cruel. You know, we have this, as a society, we have this idea of beauty that goes toward the Victoria's Secret model, but at the same time, we're trying to comfort people by saying they're just as beautiful in the same criteria. You know what I mean? Telling this sick girl that she's redeemable only if she's beautiful is terrible because it proves you don't give a damn about her illness. If you want to sleep at night thinking about how great you are by lying to this girl, do you think this girl really, really thinks she's beautiful even no matter how many people lie to her? No. You know, while we might tell this little white lie, we're not saving this poor, ill person. You know what? However, getting back to how I'm saying things, this girl is beautiful because she's fighting. She's beautiful because she isn't beautiful, not in all the physical ways we obsess over. She's beautiful because of her personality in fighting her sickness. And that's why her life is worth living. You know, it's not because some stranger said that she was beautiful in like a Victoria's Secret way. And, you know, and it's not because some asshole on the internet said she was beautiful. You know, and ladies, just listeners out there, I understand that not having a boyfriend or a significant other might feed these negative feelings. You know, is there something wrong with me? Am I not good enough? You might be wondering, those two things. I get it. Everyone hates the feeling of not being good enough for someone. Honestly, there's nothing wrong with you. A boyfriend doesn't fix your problems. You do. Speaking from experience, relationships with another person will never make you feel better about yourself. In fact, it actually brings a slew of new problems of not feeling good enough, especially if the relationship is rocky from the get-go. You know, while it might bring, like, some other level of happiness, it also brings another level of sadness with it. Just know that about relationships. So, if you're already feeling bad, having a significant other is not going to help you. Because the moment I realized this, I grew a pair, I nutted up, and I started acting and loving myself. I know what I like, I know what I want, I know what's good about myself, and I don't shy away from my shortcomings. That's not a joke about my height. It's something that really few dorky guys like myself do. Not only do I love myself, but I also love every one of you ladies out there, in the way that I find you beautiful. Despite everything I say here, you know, I'll always have a mild obsession for Yvonne Strahovski. You know, the chick from Chuck? Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't, really? Though, you gotta love yourself, ladies. Don't cry about being better, being skinnier, being more appealing. Don't stress if something doesn't look right. Being confident and owning yourself is sexy. Don't be anyone else, because that other person will never be as great as you are. Real talk, 100%. It's going to take a conscious effort for you to be comfortable with who you are. No matter how much I tell you or compliment you, you're not going to believe me until you start believing it. Like that little girl I mentioned earlier. You know, the sick one. No matter how much we tell her or compliment her, she's not gonna believe us until she started believing in herself, and that's what really made her great. Cheesy as hell, I know, but it's true. Anyway, what about us guys? We don't have these anxieties about self-image in general. I mean, there are some of us that do, like us overweight guys, but a lot of us are more concerned about social status. It's an anxiety that eats us from the inside that isn't talked about nearly as often, you know, because it's a conditioning from our society, no doubt. We think about things like, am I good enough for a girl? Am I even good enough for some friends? Am I just some loser who's never going to get a job? These things eat at us from the inside, whether we admit it or not. This creates dating advice and life advice for men that embrace the cult of the alpha male, as I like to call it. Basically, it's where being nice never cuts it, because it's low value, and thus nice people are kept away from people like they deserve. You know, while they're not entirely wrong, they have the wrong idea of what a high-status man is with high value. Don't get me wrong, as I said, having a shit ton of social status is fantastic, and value is definitely attractive. However, having both status and value distilled into one attribute is usually error-filled. I don't know how to pronounce that word. It's on the tip of my tongue, but yeah. Anyway, the most common way that people get this mixed up is material wealth. Like, the man who has a watch that's probably worth more than my entire yearly paycheck. This is easily debunked. Here in America, we have this place, you know, for all my non-American listeners, we have this place called Walmart. We can find perfectly happy people there in relationships despite the lack of a Bugatti or an Omega watch, and, you know, they're scooting around on those little mechanical scooters because they're too big to really move around. I mean, I've met people who have had money from all ends of the spectrum, you know, from I need food stamps and government help to I just bought a Porsche for my weekend car. You know, they have the same problems fitting in socially as well as with women as I have. And power? Yeah, people are attracted to power, but we don't exactly live in a world where the socially awkward get the complete shaft. I mean, look at Zooey Deschanel. She hasn't gotten shafted because she's kind of socially awkward. You know, and fame? Well, it's not the end-all be-all. Ray J, remember him, the guy who slept with Kim Kardashian on that tape? He had his moment of stardom, but it faded away. Fame is really temporary. And also, having a socially desirable job doesn't necessarily make one have a higher status either. One of the most occupationally successful guys I know, you know, he's working his way up the corporate ladder fairly easily. He has one of the worst dating lives imaginable. You know, and athletes? Everyone knows how they were popular in high school and college, at least in schools that valued athletics. When it comes to value, I think a lot of people think that there are certain things that make people valuable across the board. But you want to know the only problem with that logic? Humans aren't a hive mind. We don't think as one unit like bees, ants, or anything else that lives in a pack or an insect colony. Not everyone will be impressed by the same things. I'm personally impressed with what I think is a good sense of humor, and that usually contains terrible puns. Yeah, that punny humor. It's like the cheap end of humor, but I love that shit. And you see, you're typically not going to see a Hot Topic employee run straight at a lawyer in an Armani suit, at least not while a punk pop band is walking by. And the club chicks I keep hearing about in Pitbull's music or Mr. 305 when he comes to mind, they tend to go for club promoters and DJs. The jocks in high school do have value in that sense, you know, in the context of high school. In West Texas, for example, a football player would be a pimp in the school, and meanwhile in New York he'd just be another guy. Having value and status can make you more attractive socially, but you can't fake it. You know, everyone in Atlanta is a radio or a DJ or a club promoter. Everyone in New York is a Wall Street honcho. In DC, they're all consultants. In LA, everyone's an actor or actress or a producer. You know, listeners, it's easy to enhance a resume for the sake of impressing someone, especially a girl, to look like they're of higher social status. However, if you can only baffle people with bullshit, you know, they catch on eventually. I've said what I've said about value and status, you know. It's what it's not. So, I'll say what it is, in a simple answer. It's what you bring to the table. Real status and value come from how you act and how you make others feel. For example, status is for someone who makes others feel good, who is interesting to talk to, and brings fun to whatever gathering or just meeting, whatever. people want to spend time with this person. If you can bring that to the table without material goods and having fame, that's definitely status. Can you connect with people on an emotional level and make them feel as though you understand them better than anyone else? That's having a lot better social value, not just on the surface, but also underneath. So, where does that bring us? If you're asking yourself, I don't know if I have any of these things, am I going to be forever alone? I'm sorry if any of you listeners actually sound like that. I highly doubt it, but, you know. There are pages and pages of blog entries and forum posts of a meme called Forever Alone. Well, you can look it up, pause the podcast and look it up if you really want to. Or don't pause it, your call. I'm sure a number of you have seen people reference it now and then. Although we joke about this, the fear of loneliness is a widely experienced fear. It's what fuels a lot of men and women's insecurities. This is mostly because being loved is a universal human need. The pressures all around us make this feeling 100 times worse. In every damn Disney movie, a princess ends up finding her prince. There's a huge amount of pressure from society to be paired with someone and do that shit young. There are stupidly ridiculous statistics out there that say something like 70% of people find the person they'll marry in high school, or some shit like that, you know? Why is this? Personally, I think it's part of what makes us socially successful, you know? No boyfriend or girlfriend, I must be a psycho or a loser. That's not the case, because you can't forget the biological drive we call hormones. You know, that thing that everyone has that makes us want to make babies all the frickin' time. It's especially apparent in teenagers, the idea of being happy and fulfilled is to have a significant other. I was one of those teenagers at one point, and I get it. But it's not true, ladies and gents. What about your friends and family that support and love you? You know, hell, if you're one of my best friends and I love each other like brothers. I consider him a brother, you know, what about him? Does he not count as a person that's loved and, you know, that sort of thing? Relationships are one way to feel happy and fulfilled, but it's not really the only way. Strong friendships and strong senses of community can feed this too. Like, for example, I find myself making legitimate friends with some people that I've met in class. There's a sense of camaraderie when you're connecting with others and going through something together. And, you know, sometimes a good FAP session could do the trick, even if it lasts a few minutes. So, how do you deal with the fear of being lonely or forever alone? If some of you might call it, well, here's a couple of ways that you are not to deal with this. Rejecting people as soon as they start to feel close to someone. As soon as they feel threatened or insecure, they'll end it. Another way people deal with it is to cling on and be really dependent. In other words, the minute-by-minute texters, the people who Facebook on each other's walls saying, shit like, it's only been an hour and I already miss you. And the, I always gotta hold your handers. And finally, there are people who shut down completely. They never start or seek anyone out. These are people who are like, I'm not gonna find anyone anyway. So they have the logic of, if they never feel close to anyone, they'll never have to feel the pain. However, it's the pain that drives them to avoid relationships. So, did anyone else notice a pattern in anything I just said? If you didn't, well, it makes loneliness more likely. If you want info on loneliness, I suggest you check out Karen Horney, H-O-R-N-E-Y. She writes a lot of good things on being lonely, that sort of thing, and how to cope. Anyway, how do we deal with this fear? Well, there's no set way to deal with it. It's literally, I literally can't come up with anything to say that can make everyone feel better about it. The reason is because a lot of crap is in our heads. As adults, we're taught within school and work to really just stay in your head, make good decisions, think about it. So it bleeds into every aspect of our life. In this sense, it's easier to think like a kid when it comes to loneliness by just thinking like a kid, like saying if you look at something and say, hey, look, that's something I like. It's simple. I've felt like I'd be forever alone before. I mean, there were points in time where I was single for several years, and it can do that to you if you've been single your entire life. A lot of people who feel this way are pretty young, usually roughly 30 and under, you know. It doesn't help that there's pressure from society and your peers to try and get together with somebody. I do, however, have a message for you, which kind of refers back to what I said about being insecure. being in a relationship isn't going to solve your loneliness problems either. In fact, it can bring, like, this slew of new ones where the sense where you don't measure up to somebody, making you feel even lonelier, or just plain worse. And being in a relationship isn't a status. It's not, despite what Facebook might make you think, it's not a status, and it's not a measure of your self-worth. If you're worried about if you're finding nobody, you shouldn't be, because, you know, there are over 7 billion people in the world, and even if you liked maybe about 1% of that's 1% of them, that's what? 7 million people. Right? And there are a number of people who already care about you, you know, family and friends. And even if it might not seem that way, they do. And the likelihood of you actually being forever alone is next to nothing. It doesn't hurt to actually get out there and meet people. Hell, I talk to random people all the time. That's how you meet people. You just go out there and talk. Let words come out of your mouth. Some of the people that I've talked to are great, but if you're looking for someone, be patient. Shit can take years. I was single for a good amount of time in my life. That's not to say I didn't date girls. It's not to say I didn't sleep with girls. I just didn't find a significant other. But there are people I feel increasingly close to. Like my family, my older sister, my best friend. Think about these things less and dwell on them less. You'll be more likely to find somebody like that. Now, before I head off, there's one last thing. And it all boils down to really this. Confidence. And essentially, it's not like the cocky asshole you think who's walking into the club or the bar or some shit. You know, no, it's being cool with being you. I promise, you're okay. You know, as freaky or as weird as our problems might seem, 90% of the time they're much more common than you realize. Maybe not in your vicinity, like things like racial prejudice, but they are common elsewhere in the world. Something that stands out to me are the guys who give up early. You know, they're convinced they've done something wrong or have crossed the point of no return. These guys could be teenagers in their 20s and their 30s or older, and they're forever damned away from never knowing the aspects of life, like love or whatever. You know, I have to say about that, you'd be perfectly fine if you got out of your own frickin' way. This can apply to school, work, dating, and life in general, really. It's something that I went through for a while because I used to, and somewhat still, suffer from social anxiety disorder, these hoarded identity issues, self-limiting beliefs, and other things I wasn't even aware of. As men, women, and people in general, I don't discriminate, we make ourselves our own worst enemy. This goes back into staying in your head. Your head's gonna eat you from the inside. We let ourselves get caught up in spirals of anxiety and looking for something to make ourselves feel validated. So some of us try to cling on to a significant other, or cling on to our job, or cling on to school, a video game, whatever it is. We all have to realize we're all flawed. That's a given. If we weren't, we wouldn't make mistakes. The biggest trouble with this is accepting that we're flawed, and it's okay. Like, if you're going through a hard time and someone asks, how are you doing? Don't just go with the default answer, good, real good, with a half-assed smile on your face. You know, it's okay to go up to somebody and say, you know, it's a little hard right now, but life is life. That's actually, saying something like that is actually a much more mature way to connect with another person. That's what I found and realized, you know, they're being realistic. It's easy to look and say, you know, we'll never measure up. It's like a dagger in your side that creates a scar that says, why do you suck? Because then it becomes an endless cycle. It's really, really easy to compare ourselves to standards that nobody can meet, and we're fighting our own imaginations. Remember, get out of your own way. Those thoughts in your head? Those are really what's keeping you from doing stuff. There's one way that men and women, for example, like to measure their status as a person. Externally, at least. That's how many people they've slept with. It's an obsession for some people, but for the most part, from what I've discovered, nobody gives a shit. You're not getting a free toaster whenever you've slept with 100 girls, or you haven't slept with any guys up until this point in your life, you know? Airlines aren't giving you discounted tickets because you decided to sleep with about 50 girls. You don't get 10% off a video game if you sleep with every four people. You know, it doesn't work that way. It's an external validation that says, look how many people have wanted me or I've stayed pure for. You know, that counts for something, right? You know what? Most of my friends and my older sister don't give a flying fuck about how many women I've slept with. You know, they're probably getting tired of me talking about it whenever it comes up in a conversation. Women aren't impressed, men aren't impressed, and actually, you know, the Center of Disease Control, the CDC, it's here in Atlanta, and also, it's an American thing, they did a survey of American sex lives, and men? They only have an average of 5 partners in their life. You know, it's crazy how some guys go borderline suicidal, you know, over sleeping with 3 women by the time they're 21. It's easy to rack up numbers, you know, just lower your standards and you'll be knee-deep in miserable tale. I'm getting a little bashy here, and I'm not trying to shame people or anything. There's nothing wrong with wanting to sleep with multiple people and or not very many people, being abstinent, in other words. It's just that someone shouldn't use sex to fill that I suck as a person hole in your soul. Hey, that rhymed. Didn't realize I was that just rhymed. Okay.
Rhyming with Raph, Thursday nights after 5, only on Dorky Talks.
Anyway, let's acknowledge the wide truth for everyone. You know, you're probably not where you want to be, and you're not even close to your goal, and that's perfectly okay. You know, I'm not as confident around beautiful girls as I'd like to be, and that's perfectly fine. I might have to work harder to get the same grades as other people, and that's fine too. Maybe your situation sucks. Maybe you're awkward. Maybe you're clumsy. Or maybe there's some other reason. You know, accept it. We're all flawed. We're all imperfect. And the irony here is that embracing that you are flawed creates more confidence than, you know, trying to disregard those things. Trying to live up to this perfect ideal that doesn't really exist. Fully accepting that you're not perfect isn't giving up. It's accepting that you're human and you're improving day by day. I'm pretty funny every now and then, but I'm not Jeff Dunham. I have friends that, you know, are smarter, funnier, better at video games than I am, or better in general. And that inspires me to try harder. You know, if you're good at bullshitting your way through, then you're not hanging around people better than you. I'm not as good of a podcaster as I want to be, but I'm improving, I think. And for you listeners, you're okay. I promise. And, that one got a little ranty, but thank you for listening to this episode of Dorky Talks. If you want to talk to me about the podcast or anything else on your mind, you can reach me on Twitter at a guy named Raph. Direct message me or just tag me in something. In the meantime, I like your faces, I like your ears, thank you for listening, and I promise you're okay just the way you are. Just be that.